authorized.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment. Master Commissioner Robert Mayer presiding.
Please be seated. The first case to be heard this morning is number 2013-449, Columbus City Schools Board of Education versus Franklin County Board of Revision. The appellant is the property owner. Mr. Sleggs, please.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Todd Sleggs, and I represent the appellant Metro Partners at NW LLC. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal. This is a 2009 tax year appeal involving 16 units in a 20-unit complex that were being operated as rental apartments as of January 1 of 2009. The complaint that was filed with the Board of Revision was based upon an appraisal of the property by a local MIA appraiser who valued the property at $2,900,000. The county auditor's assessment reflected a value of $5,990,700. The units were originally constructed for sale as condominium units in the time period of 2006 to 2008, and the testimony before the Board of Revision established that the property owner in 2008, due to a lack of market demand, started renting the units as apartments, and Mr. Miller, who was the appraiser who prepared the appraisal at the Board of Revision and testified, was of the opinion that as of January 1 of 2009, the highest and best use of the property was for multifamily rental, and that served as the basis for the appraisal that he subsequently prepared, valuing the property at $2,900,000. The Board of Revision decision in the audio tape acknowledged that expert testimony had been submitted in the case through Mr. Miller's testimony and appraisal report, and the county auditor recommended to the board a value of $2,900,000 based upon the appraisal, and the two voting members of the Board of Revision, the county auditor and the county treasurer, unanimously voted to adopt the appraisal value and apply it to the 16 parcels at issue in the case. The Board of Education, who's an appellee in this appeal, appealed that determination to the Board of Tax Appeals. And at the Board of Tax Appeals, a hearing was conducted, but no direct evidence of value for the 16 parcels was submitted by the Board of Education. They submitted over the objection of the appellant four pre-recession sales of units within the complex, which the Board of Tax Appeals at page 10 in their decision allowed into evidence. They said, we'll consider them, but it's not clear what evidence they gave those four sales in their decision. We obviously objected because the sales were hearsay. The Board of Tax Appeals hearing examiner asked whether the Board of Education was going to submit any appraisal testimony regarding the comparability of the units, and we also objected under Revised Code 5715-19G. At the end of their decision, the Board of Tax Appeals reinstated the county auditor's original assessment for the parcels, and we appealed that decision to this court primarily under the Bedford rule. We believe that the Board of Tax Appeals committed an error of law because there wasn't any evidence submitted on appeal to support the auditor's original assessment of the property. In order for the Board of Tax Appeals to have overturned the Board of Revision decision, evidence would have had to have been submitted first on highest and best use. And that's specifically addressed in the Bedford case. The evidence in the record in this case is that market conditions changed between the time that this development was undertaken and January 1 of 2009. And the only evidence in the case is that the highest and best use was for multifamily rental apartments.
How would you distinguish this particular case from the situation in the East Bank condominiums case, where specifically with respect to the reconsideration decision in that case?
Well, I think Bedford applies here, and it's really the very last section of Bedford where I know that in East Bank, the case was remanded. because of the issue regarding the bulk sale methodology used in the appraisal. We don't have that valuation issue in this case because of the fact that Board of Revision adopted an appraisal which is consistent with Ohio law. I mean, there isn't a valuation issue in the case. It's really just a legal issue in terms of whether evidence was submitted to rebut the appraisal evidence that was submitted at the Board of Revision. But in the East Bank case, there were issues with respect to the bulk discount and whether that was appropriate under Ohio law.
In some respects, it's similar, though, right? Because as of the lien date here, these units were, they were constructed as condominium units, and they were, they're separate parcels, correct?
That's correct. And, you know, the Board of Education has raised revised code 5311.11 in terms of that, whether that statute and the individual parceling of the unit should drive the valuation. That same issue was raised in the Pingway case, and it wasn't accepted by the court in that case, and I don't think it should be accepted here. That statute clearly is not a valuation statute. You have to go into the Ohio Administrative Code in order to look how to value property. It just says that you've got to parcel the units as individual parcels. The other, I think, distinguishing factor in East Creek is that, you know, those were not fully constructed units. And whether you look at the East Bank case or you look at MII Homes that the Board of Tax Appeals cited in their decision, those cases are really factually distinguishable from this case because of the fact that the appraisal methodology used in this case did not involve a discounted factor. The Board of Tax Appeals actually criticized our appraiser for taking some kind of a bulk discount, but if you read the appraisal, he clearly did a typical income approach and sales comparison approach that you'd see for a multifamily project. So I don't really feel, I feel that to the extent that the East Bank case followed the Bedford rule, I think it applies, but I think that the appraisal evidence in that case and the facts about the specific property in that case really don't mirror the facts in our case.
You also said that there was actual renting out of some of these units. When was that in relation to the lien date here?
BJ Stargia, who was the property manager during construction and also once the project was completed, testified that when they weren't able to sell the units in 2008, they started, the decision was made to start renting the units. So the units were rented starting in 2008 through 2009. And I believe that they were all rented at the time that we were before the Board of Revision in October of 2010.
And they were all, this wasn't a situation where they were like shell units that had to be finished. Were they actually all finished units?
Or? Yeah, they were finished to stand, you know, a standard finish. They, you know, when the decision was made not to, that they couldn't sell them to third parties, you know, they finished them to standard finish so that they could be rented. But, and this is one of the issues that I think the Board of Tax Appeals hearing examiner raised, is that you, when you look at the pre-recession sales, you couldn't really compare those units to the subject property without knowing how they were finished and built out. The other issue, which again is addressed in Bedford, is economic unit. And again, Mr. Miller testified that the relevant economic unit for his appraisal was the 16 units being operated at apartments. And then the last piece really missing in order to rebut the Board of Revision's decision in the case was there was no evidence of the value of the units submitted as of January 1 of 2009. So with the lack of those three elements being addressed on appeal, we feel that the Board of Tax Appeals decision and order reinstating the auditor's assessment was unreasonable and unlawful. Since the evidence that the Board of Revision used in their decision was reasonable and unlawful and was not rebutted on appeal, We don't believe that this case needs to be remanded to the Board of Tax Appeals for them to make a determination of value. Again, consistent with the Bedford rule, we believe that the case can simply be reversed and remanded with instructions to reinstate the county auditor, Board of Revisions decision with respect to the assessment of the parcels. And I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Slade.
Thank you.
Mr. Gillis.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Mark Gillis on behalf of the Board of Education of the Columbus City School District. The burden of the Board of Education as the appellant at the BTA was not to present evidence in this case, but was to demonstrate reversible legal error. 5311.11 is clear and unambiguous. Each unit of condominium property is deemed a separate parcel for all purposes of taxation and assessment of real property. The East Bank 2 decision pointed this out clearly. As a result, any appraisal presented to the Board of Revision in an effort to change the value of condominiums must also value condominium units as separate parcels. In East Bank, this court said that the Horner appraisal violates this legal mandate by valuing all 21 individual parcels in bulk as if they were a single economic unit. Quote, this method of valuation effectively treated the appellee's condos as if they were all one parcel. Consequently, the use of this method of valuation was in conflict with 5311.11 and was unlawful. And they remanded the case back for the Board of Tax Appeals to independently determine valuation because in that report they determined that there was sufficient evidence for the Board of Tax Appeals to do so.
As I recall, in the East Bank case, there had not actually been any leasing activity, and there actually had been later condominium sales. Does it matter here that there was some degree of leasing activity, that the owner had actually started to treat these properties as rental units?
Under 5311.11, no. It doesn't say that they're deemed separate parcels for taxation and assessment purposes unless they're rented. Lots of condominiums are rented. Lots of investors purchase condominium units and rent them out. That does not change their legal classification as condominium units. In the case of residential condominium units, there's a definition in 5311 discussing the conversion of an apartment complex to condominiums. It still applies that they have to be valued separately if that conversion occurs. Interestingly enough, in this case, the appraiser was directed to value this property this way, and he was under the assumption, which was later corrected in the testimony by the property owner, that the conversion had already occurred. Therefore, his entire appraisal was based upon an incorrect premise that these were already converted to an apartment complex. With regard to residential condos, that has an effect on the tax rate that is applied. An apartment complex is a commercial property with a higher tax rate. So a property owner, a developer, and so forth, gets a lower tax rate because as condominiums, they're residential, and they get a lower tax rate. And now the property owner in this case wants to have it both ways. They want the lower tax rate, and they want an artificially lower valuation because they happen to own a bunch of units. The owner of the units that had been sold don't get that same opportunity. Is an owner of a single condo, if they decide to rent it out, do they get to value it as a one-unit apartment complex? 5711 says no. You value it individually.
Is the appraisal in this case suffer from the same legal problem that was identified in East Bank, or is this appraisal in some way distinguishable in terms of that bulk discount theory?
The methodology of obtaining the collective bulk discount is different. It was in East Bank, the appraiser valued them individually and then took a discount. So his appraisal valued them correctly at the outset, and then took the discount. In this case, and in the next case, they are valued collectively at the outset, which is still a violation of a statute that says they're deemed separate parcels for all purposes of taxation and assessment. This court's interpretation of that said this method effectively treated the appellee's condominiums as if they were all one parcel. The effect is the same. They valued these as all one unit, compared them to other apartment complexes, and valued them accordingly. Bedford has no application here. This is East Bank made that clear on remand. The starting point with regard to highest and best use, which is the crux of their case, is that the highest and best use changed. However, they never marketed these to be sold collectively. All of their marketing efforts were done individually. In fact, Mr. Miller stated that condo owners sometimes opt for leasing unsold units, quote, with the hope that renters will choose to buy the unit they're renting. They're marketing them individually. And he went on to further say they were offering several rent-to-buy options. Again, these are condominium units. The owner always intended to sell them individually, which is why they decided to rent them out temporarily and hope that they could sell them to the individual renters. But their classification and their character as condominium units has never been changed. Mr. Miller further supports that argument when he stated that this is the way market participants look at the units under common ownership that have been rented. It's clear that the only reason we had an appraisal of an apartment complex for condominium units is because the owner owns multiple units in the same complex. A different result here, the result the appellant is seeking, gives a wide disparity of taxation or valuation methodologies, that the owners of the individual condos in the same complex are going to pay based upon their acquisition price of a single condominium unit, and the developer or owner of multiple units is going to get a discount because they own more property. I have nothing further.
Thank you, Mr. Gillis. Mr. Sleggs, you have reserved 5 minutes and 31 seconds.
Thank you. I'd like to direct the court's attention to page 113 of the supplement. As I mentioned, I believe that our case is factually distinguishable. The relevant economic unit for purposes of Mr. Miller's appraisal was the 16 units that are under appeal. But he values each individual unit, each individual parcel. And if you look at the supplement on page 113, he arrives at a value under the sales comparison approach of $180,000 per unit. And he breaks that down to a value per square foot because he acknowledged at the BOR that some of the units are bigger or small and some are smaller. And that's reflected not only in the auditor's original assessment, but also in the Board of Revision decision. His value, whether it's under the income approach or the sales comparison approach, works out to $101.61 per square foot. And that's what the Board of Revision, in accepting his appraisal, applied to the parcels. That is one of the reasons why this case is different from the East Bank case. And we don't believe, because of the fact that the appraisal methodology in our case was different, as well as the facts, that we run afoul of the court's concerns and other appeals about bulk discounting. Each of the individual units was valued in the appraisal. But when you get to, and again, this goes back to Bedford. I know the Board of Education doesn't think Bedford applies, but there was appraisal testimony in Bedford specifically on what highest and best use and what economic unit were. Neither of those appraisers actually valued the property in Bedford. Their sole purpose was to express an opinion as to highest and best use and as to economic unit. And in this particular case, the only evidence on highest and best use and economic unit is the appraisal evidence and testimony of Mr. Miller that was adopted by the Board of Revision. It has not been rebutted in this case. And so we do not believe that the different fact patterns in East Bank and, as I mentioned, MI Homes should change the result that we're requesting in this case, because the facts in our case are significantly different. The second thing...
What about the point that was made that the appraiser may have been mistaken about whether or not the units have been converted into an apartment complex?
Well, the evidence in this case is clear. B.J. Stargell testified at the Board of Revision, and I listened to the tape last night. I mean, she said that when we couldn't sell these units, a decision was made to rent them. And that started in 2008. Then you take Mr. Miller's testimony that, you know, we had the financial collapse, and this is discussed in his testimony and also in his appraisal report, that in the fall of 2008, the capital markets collapsed and you couldn't get financing to purchase units like this, and there was no demand. He cited four other projects in the Grandview area that were suffering the same issue. And the other point that I'd like to mention is that there is no evidence in the record that these units were being marketed for sale during the time period that we're discussing here. Ms. Stargell testified that they made a decision when they couldn't sell them that they would rent them as apartments. So, you know, there may have been facts in other appeals where the condominium units were trying to be sold. Those are not the facts in this case. And based upon the record in this case and the facts in this case and the law as we discussed it with the court here today in our brief, we believe that the Board of Tax Appeals decision and order should be reversed and the Board of Revisions decision should be reinstated in this case.
What about the point of the lack of uniformity between someone who did purchase one of these units as a condominium and the owner, the developer owner, who effectively gets a discount, perhaps, even if that wasn't the method of the appraisal?
I think you have to, it goes back to highest and best use. Those individual units were purchased by owner users, and so they bought for a different use and, quite honestly, in a different market. Those sales in the record took place in February, between February and August, and it was really September of 2008 when the capital markets collapsed. So there's really two issues with respect to that uniformity concern. One is purchase for a different use. Mr. Miller covered that in his testimony before the board. And two, different market conditions. And so I believe that those two factors should address a uniformity concern. And secondly, again, if you look at the facts in the Pingway case, the units in the Pingway case were selling to individual investors for maybe $77,000 a unit. Some were users, but the bulk of the purchasers in the Pingway project were investors. But they were being assessed kind of like the Myers case, the residential case in Shaker Heights from a long time ago. They were being assessed at what they paid for the property. So what was the harm there? And I think that analysis applies here as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Slates. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.